call the House and Health and Human Services Committee to order this Wednesday, June 1st, 2005. We have a work session on the agenda for House Bill 3073. I wanted to say a couple of things in terms of housekeeping, just to bring the committee up to speed on what the plan is for this committee. We are in we are effectively done with the bills that we are going to hear for this session, both House and Senate bills. There is another. After last Friday, we had to submit all of our requests for agendas to the leadership offices and get their approval to do that. So, kind of limits what we're able to do from here on out. This Friday this week is the target date to close committees, and so we will probably be closing after the Friday hearing. I've submitted a work plan to the leadership office to let them know the cleanup that needs to be done on a couple of Senate bills and a couple of unresolved issues. The unresolved issues are mental health parity, the prescription drug pool, the child welfare stuff that I forwarded over to them. Those are the major unresolved issues, and then a couple of housekeeping issues. So I've sent that up the chain to let folks know that we have to complete those. And I think the Senate is still sending bills this way. And so the possibility is that we will close and then reopen to take up some of those issues. A lot of the issues that I just brought up as unresolved issues have sort of leadership implications in them. So we're continuing to sort of move forward in that direction.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes. I'd be happy, by the way, to provide a copy of the work plan to everybody.
Yeah, thank
yes,
you.
Representative Greenlee.
I do understand the implications of mental health parity for the end game, but we had three bills in front of us. Is there some sense that we might spend the time to get it into a single form that might be used, I mean, to actually work it and then...
Sure. I think, Representative Greenlee, the three mental health parity bills that we'd consider are effectively the same kind of bills that ran independently. One came to us from the Senate. One came to us with Representative Tomei's help in the House. And then one came to us from the Rules Committee, which I still haven't figured out as a committee bill. but they are all basically the same bill.
So there isn't any substantive work that needs to be done.
There isn't substantive difference between those three bills. Having said that, before we pass a mental health parity bill, I think there is substantive work to be done before we do that. We're going to have to figure out whether or not we're going to pass the mental health parity bill this session.
But my point was that whether we pass it or not, if there's substantive work to be done, we might want to do that substantive work.
Right.
Awaiting the final decision of what.
Understand that. And take your recommendation under advisement. Any other issues the committee would like to bring up over here?
Are we going to have a party? I thought you'd mention that yourself.
This is not enough.
Well,
Chair.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably inquire with the other health committees on the Senate side and the budget type folks to see about one big party as we did last time, which seemed to work out pretty well. So you get everybody together at the same time. Have a grand old time.
That'll be fun.
So, yeah.
Good.
Okay. With that, we will open a work session on House Bill 3073. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, as you recall, House Bill 3073 had a public hearing on May 4th. The bill specifies that reasonable self-defense is not abuse for the purposes of laws requiring reporting of abuse of individuals who are elderly, mentally ill, developmentally disabled, or in long-term care facilities. At that time, we had some -1 amendments and -2 amendments. What you have before you are the -2 amendments, which basically replace the bill. You have a hand and gross version that deletes page 2 through 4. Thus, the bill would look like hand and gross page 1A, sections 1 and 2. Those amendments were submitted by AFSCME. What they're... Mr. Chair, do you want me to...
It's actually like all of us. We had a little...
Excuse me. It was everybody in...
Why don't we maybe have have Mary Bodkin come forward and just sort of walk us through the work group to bring the committee up to speed. Does that work? All right.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. And good morning to the committee. For the record, I'm Mary Bodkin with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. After some rather heated testimony by some of the other interest groups and advocates for other human services clients, we determined that one cannot save the world, so one should just try to save their little piece of it. And we're going to try and save our little piece of it with these amendments. This will begin to answer a concern for a very small and specific group of folks. Those folks who work at the state hospital and in state-operated group homes with some fairly violent individuals, clients who tend to act out because of their mental disorder. This will allow our members to provide reasonable self-defense when they are attacked or assaulted by clients without facing abuse charges that are almost always impossible to defend yourself against. This will provide a reasonable defense platform from which our members operate, and it also provides for some protection for the client by setting up a process to determine whether indeed the individual is guilty of abuse or is indeed simply providing reasonable self-defense. And I think this narrows the bill considerably. I think that in talking with committee members and with the chair, that maybe next session we'll come back and take another look at it, see how it's functioning within the state hospital and within the state-operated group homes, and if indeed the sky has not fallen, and we don't think it will, that maybe we can expand this to cover some of the other areas of human services where clients can be fairly aggressive and abusive to the staff, and that this will at least provide us with a starting point in a very controlled environment.
Yes, Representative Tilley.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Mary. So this was the first that I've seen of the Dash 2 amendment, so I haven't had a chance to look up the ORS, but it sounds from what you're saying, and I'm assuming in Section 1, it refers only to those that are operated by the state of Oregon through the Department of Human Services. Okay, thank you.
It's a very limited group. It does not extend out to cover any of the private nonprofits or any of the senior living environments or the Alzheimer's or dementia facilities. And it doesn't cover private hospitals. So, as I said, it's a very limited, specific group of folks that it's covering.
Can you describe the process of the work group? Who is in the work group? How do we
Yes. Of course. The chair called together a work group, and there were members from the disabilities community. The Oregon Advocacy Center was represented. Representative Greenlick was there. We were there. Trying to think who else
chair was there.
The chair was there. Representative Greenlick was there. The department was there.
Yeah, the Department of Human Resources was there. You know, I do have to say that, you know, the Department of Human Resources really was not very forthcoming with offering any kind of training to people. So we will pursue that in another world at another time.
All right.
Representative Greenwood was very good at pointing that out.
I have a contact here that has a concern about. I'll just state the concern. This is off of the amendment. Do we have the Dash 2 amendments in front of us?
Yes.
Line 20 begins with, notwithstanding ORS 179 505, the department shall disclose to the person alleged to be responsible for the abuse a copy of its findings under subsection 1 of this section if the allegation of abuse is substantiated. And the concern was, it's written here, there does not seem to be any confidentiality limits here, such as protecting the names of the complainant, witnesses, investigators, etc. And I have a hard time accepting that concern, but I wondered if you could maybe speak to that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, anytime someone is charged with abuse is a criminal charge, and we would, of course, under criminal statutes, be allowed to access names of the complainant and witnesses. I mean, it's a criminal charge. Once you take it from a civil matter into a criminal matter, there's pretty strict rules of how that's handled. And I'm not a criminal lawyer. I'm not a lawyer at all. So I couldn't begin to explain all the intricacies of that. But I do know that there is a very strict process by which you are allowed to access that information and confront your accusers. And there are many protections in place for the witnesses under criminal law.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
It's also the findings are all that's being provided here, not the investigative material that goes behind that.
Right. That's kind of what I thought. I wanted somebody else to say it out loud. The other concern here was that some language from the original bill got dropped in line 17. Line 17 reads, "The person used the least restrictive procedures necessary under the circumstances for responding to or defending the person against another person's behaviors." Evidently, let me see. Just
keep on here.
Well, that is in there in Amendment 2, the lines 17 through 19 that I just read. But I think the language was a little bit different. If you refer to the original bill, line 22, it says the employee used the least restrictive procedures necessary under the circumstances in accordance with an approved behavior management plan or other method of response approved by the Department of Human Services by rule. That language didn't make it into the dash 2 amendments, and I'm wondering, do we know why that's the case? Should that be in the dash 2 amendments?
You know, Mr. Chair, you know, I'm struggling with this only because I am reasonably sure all of this is in rule now. That, you know, the sort of how you handle this environment is in rule. James Taves is sitting in the back of the room.
Yeah, I see him.
I think we should make him come up here and help.
Well, I see him shaking his head up and down in the affirmative that it should be in there.
It's in the rules.
It's in the rule already?
Right?
All right. Yeah. James, can I have H4?
This changes.
James Taves was in our meeting, too.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome.
Welcome.
So I saw you gesture in the back there. Could you explain your gesture?
What's the question to which yes is the
exactly.
Mr. Chairman, James Taves from the Department of Human Services. Yes, it is in rule, but in as much as much of the bill is in rule already, but we're putting it into statute, I think it would be appropriate to reflect in statute as well that it's both in terms of that the least restrictive procedure given the circumstance was used, or it was according to an approved behavior management plan. And yes, it is in rule, but I think it would be helpful to also add it to statute.
Okay.
And we don't have any problem with that.
Okay. It looks like an oversight, simply.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, so are you looking to just replace line 17 through 19 with the exact language that's on the original bill, page 1, line 22 through 24?
Yeah. Yes, okay. I think so.
So it looks like...
And here's the problem. This was a chore to get this meeting scheduled today.
Yeah.
So here's what the chair is going to do. The chair is going to do this as a conceptual amendment, and if anybody has a problem with that, they can come see me.
How about that?
So we're going to sit here because they wrote a bill already this way, and they gave us an amendment. I don't imagine that it's changing very much, which is why we run into problems with conceptual amendments. So, Mr. Chase, thank you very much. Mary, that works for you?
Yeah, that's fine with me, Mr. Chair.
So, let us take the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, for a motion.
I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3073 with the exception of substituting lines 22 through 24 for lines
17 through 19
of the dash two amendments.
Okay, Representative Greenlink, I will accept that motion, and we'll stand at ease for just a moment. Okay, the motion on the floor is Representative Greenlink has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 3073 with the provisions that we are striking lines 17, 18, and 19, which read subsection C, the person used the least restrictive procedures necessary under the circumstances for responding to or defending the person against another person's behaviors. That sentence is stricken and will be replaced with the following language. The employee used the least restrictive procedures necessary under the circumstances in accordance with an approved behavior management plan or other method of response approved by the Department of Human Services by rule. So that is the motion to conceptually amend this and adopt dash two. Is there any discussion on this amendment?
Sure.
Representative Butler.
Well, I'm always uncomfortable with conceptual amendments. I see exactly. I think it's evident on the face what's happening here. I just do offer concern that what Mary has told us today, that the department will still be reticent to offer any training to their employees. So we set up the hope that there will be expansions of rules to accommodate some of these issues. And much of what we are now memorializing in statute is already part of rule. So I'm just concerned why we have to have a bill to do what they're already doing, unless there is some noted shortcoming at present, and I think the committee has probably already worked through that. I just would express that I'm anxious that the committee, or that the human resources folks, have not come forward with any attempt to train those folks that are working in the state hospital or other state-operated setting as defined in the much more narrowly defined bill with the dash two amendment.
Thank you, Representative, for your comments. I'm not so sure that it's entirely accurate to say that the department hasn't trained folks working in the state hospital to deal with the people that are residing there, which is, I think, kind of what you're getting at. But I do understand what you're saying about the maybe insufficient amount of training in these sort of defensive type situations.
Mr. Chair, it's also true that not all of these things are currently in rules. The definition of self-defense is in some of the processes, but the testimony we heard, particularly around subsection 3 of section 1 and subsection 4 subsection 1 are not currently in rules and in fact would be very useful to the process.
Mr. Chair, may I, Mary Botkin, again, may I make just a clarifying statement?
I'm not just yet, actually, because we're in the middle of a discussion on a motion. So I ask you to hold that, please.
Thank you.
Representative Butler, did you have further comment?
Mr. Chair, while I don't mean to say that they're not training, I think that part of the testimony was that the training has not been amplified, or
okay.
The department really doesn't tend to amplify. And I don't know that this addresses this additional training that we're really trying to seek on behalf of our employees that are working in these areas. Unfortunately, as the bill has morphed along, it's changed considerably from where it started. But I guess, Mr. Chair, with regard to the conceptual amendments, there still is a segment referred to judiciary.
We're going to remove it.
Okay. Well, by moving it to judiciary, it would be at least be engrossed if it was left that way.
I'm sorry, Representative, I don't follow the last part.
If there were a problem with the language, that, for instance, the way that it's been recited, I'm assuming that the portion on line 22 of page 1 of the original bill, the B would be changed to the C, which is on line 17 of the amendment.
Right.
So,
which is why I didn't read the B.
Right, but we struck the entire beginning with C. So it's just those small conceptual kinds of things that sometimes we run into problems with. But I assume we've asked the leadership to go ahead and remove the judiciary rule. So that's
in the process. Representative Butler, what I would say is, if there are any sort of technical LC type issues that need to be resolved, I want to get a bill out of this committee and on the way, since it's a House bill, and I will personally pledge to go over to Senate and make sure that we have a bill that is best reflects exactly what we're trying to accomplish, if that is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Boone, did you have something? Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative May.
Just one thing. I think following up on what Representative Butler was talking about. I don't think you said C when you read those lines 22 to 24.
I didn't.
Did you?
I purposely didn't say C because we're not going to amend the C subsection. We were just swapping. I was removing the sentence beginning with 17.
Got it.
And indicating what we were removing.
Right.
And swapping it with language that I read.
Right. I got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. A motion on the table. Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the dash two amendments are with the conceptual amendment is ordered adopted. Mary Botkin.
Mr. Chair, I wanted to just clarify perhaps a misstatement or a misconception of a statement or misperception. The Department of Human Resources provides fairly extensive training for people working at the state-operated group homes and the state hospital. They do not provide similar training to anyone working in the private sector or in locally run facilities. And we think that long term, that's a very serious problem, that people are not receiving the kind of training that they need to properly restrain and control clients in the private sector who are very similar to clients we have in our state-operated facilities. Be that as it may, that is a longer battle with a price tag that will have to be paid at some point. And I think it's a battle we take on next session, not this session. As I said in the beginning, I can't save the whole world. And I'm going to try and fix a little piece of the world that we live in and hopefully set a standard and a pattern that can be mirrored in the private sector as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion that sends the amended bill to the floor and rescinds the subsequent referral to judiciary, please.
So moved.
Thank you. We have
with a due pass.
With a due pass recommendation. Representative Greenlink, Representative Tomei moves House Bill 3073 as amended with a conceptual amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Excused.
President Boone?
Aye.
President Cameron?
Aye.
President Greenwood?
Aye.
President Tremaine?
Aye.
President Butler?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. House Bill 3073, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair will carry this bill. We will close the work session on House Bill 3073. Seeing nothing else coming before the committee, colleagues, I'll head up to my office right now and get the copy of the work plan out to each and every one of you on your email, if that works. And I think we'll adjourn.